Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we are making our way through the third epistle of John, the shortest book in all the Bible. It is a letter that the Apostle John has written to a man named Gaius, who is a godly man, an apparently wealthy man, who is happy to use the things that God has supplied to him for the cause of the gospel. And so in his commodious home, he receives traveling preachers and provides hospitality for them while they're ministering in his area. And he helps them financially on their travels so that they can go on to other assignments. And in this way, he greatly furthers the cause of the gospel, the work of missions, the work of evangelism throughout Asia Minor. Gaius is very interested in that, and Gaius is very much supportive of that with the resources that God has entrusted into his care. But there's another man that is referred to in this epistle, and he's just the opposite of Gaius. He is Diotrephes. He is the church boss, who has made himself the church boss. And he is the exact opposite of Gaius in almost every possible way. And so we learn about him in verses 9 and 10 of 3 John, and we are continuing that study on this Thursday, August 1. Grateful that you've been able to join us, and so very, very thankful for those whose financial gifts enable us to teach on this station. John says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Well, what are the characteristics of this man, Diotrephes? We started going through a list of them yesterday. Number one, he rejects apostolic authority. He does not receive us. He doesn't receive John. He doesn't receive the messenger sent by John. He doesn't receive the instructions given by John, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And every Christian knows that apostles of Jesus Christ are speaking for Christ. When an apostle speaks, that's like Christ speaking. So for Diotrephes to reject John is tantamount to rejecting Christ. He rejects proper authority, godly authority, Christ-ordained authority, for Christ called the Apostle John and the other apostles, and Christ commissioned them, Christ gave them their authority, Christ made it clear that they speak for him when he went back to heaven, that he's going to continue speaking from heaven, through the apostles that he has commissioned. Christ did that. John has duly authorized authority from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Diotrephes has no such authority. He will not accept the authority of John, or of the scriptures, or of the other apostles. But he wields dictatorial authority over others. I've noticed that over the years, that people who exercise ungodly authority over others are generally those who accept no authority over themselves. Or, to turn it around the other way, the professing Christians the people in the church who call themselves Christians, who refuse to accept proper authority, scriptural authority, godly authority, are often ones who demand that others bow to their authority. How many times I have watched with horror as a Christian husband exercises abusive authority, ungodly authority, claiming, of course, to be exercising the authority that a husband has been given for the wife, but doing it in a very abusive way, verbally abusive, sometimes even physically abusive, but more often verbally abusive, demanding her acquiescence and compliance to his authority to the nth degree, but he himself will not bow to the authority of Christ exercised in the properly constituted officers of the church. The pastors and elders that Christ has appointed in the church, he will accept no authority from them, no instructions from them. He doesn't have to pay attention to them. He's an authority all to himself. Nobody tells him what to do, but he tells everybody else what to do if he can get by with it. Everybody that he can bring under his control, he will demand their compliance, and that's exactly the way Diotrephes was. He, number one, rejects apostolic authority. Number two, slanders the Apostle John. That's another common characteristic of people like this. If you confront them, if you challenge them in any way, then they start denigrating you, start slandering you, start maliciously calling you names and accusing you of things which are not true and you have not done. Number three, he refuses hospitality. He does not receive the brethren who've been sent by John. Number four, he forces compliance of everybody around him. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind, verse 10, his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to. Everybody's got to do what he says. He's not content to just say, I'm not going to extend hospitality to them. I have my reasons for not doing that. All right, if you're content that that's the right position before God, then do what you feel your conscience requires you to do. Don't make a big deal of it. But no, of course he makes a big deal of it. He's insisting that everybody else do what he has decided to be done, which is not only the wrong thing, but it is now, he's forcing his malicious attitudes and actions upon other people. They must comply to what he is doing. And his fifth charge, his fifth crime against the church, against Christ and the church, is his wielding unilateral excommunication toward those who will not bow to his authority. Not content with that, we read, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. If they won't obey him, he puts them out of the church, excommunicates them. It's the same word, putting them out of the church. It's the same word that is used of what happened to the blind man that was given his sight by Jesus in John 9:34, who was put out of the synagogue. Same idea. Excommunicated out of the synagogue. Because of his audacity to stand up to the Jewish authorities who wanted him to publicly declare that Jesus was not who he was and had not healed him, which of course would be a lie. Jesus had healed him and he knew that. And so when he wouldn't comply with their demands, they excommunicated him from the synagogue. And when good-hearted Christians wouldn't comply with Diotrephes' command that they not receive the brethren, he put them out of the church. How was he able to do that? excommunication, which is required at times, sadly. We wish it weren't, but it is, and there are instructions for it in the Bible, but excommunication requires action by the church. Nobody can carry that out by themselves. But Diotrephes did. He puts them out of the church. He does that on his own, just banishes them from the church. At least, that's what he's attempting to do. It's in the present tense, interestingly. So it means he's attempting to do that. He's seeking to expel them. We don't know if that means he hasn't yet succeeded or if it means this is an, in the present tense because it's an ongoing situation. This is what he does. Not what he did, but this is what he does. He puts out of the church anyone who will not yield to his ungodly demands. His attitude is rule or ruin. Have you ever known anybody like that? You will either do it my way or I will destroy you. I will destroy your reputation. I will destroy your serenity, your peace, your well-being. I will destroy your ability to have any influence over other people. You either obey me or I will ruin you, is the attitude of this man named Diotrephes. And the question is, who is this guy? Was he an elder in the church? There's no mention of that. He's not called one. He didn't have biblically invested authority. Sometimes you'll even find renegade elders who have been biblically appointed to their office, but then they are misusing it. But this man apparently didn't even have the office, but somehow he managed to wield this kind of authority. Was he an elder? No mention that he was. Was he a deacon? No mention that he was. I know pastors who have given descriptions of deacons who were very much like this man that they had in their church at one time or another, and what a difficult situation that created for them. But it can happen. It can be true of deacons. It can be true of pastors. Pastors can wield this kind of ungodly authority. But who was he? Well, the evidence suggests that he was a wealthy layman who probably, and this is only surmising, but he is a wealthy man, apparently had a large church. And where did churches meet in those days? They met in homes, so they probably met in his home. He probably housed the church, as we think Gaius probably did, in his location somewhere nearby. And that's probably how he was able to wield this unauthorized authority. In other words, I provide the location for the church. If you don't do what I say, then I'm going to put the church out of my house and you'll have no place to go. That's probably the pressure he was exerting. We don't really know that. We don't know how he managed to accumulate such strong but ungodly authority. But he was obviously a member who usurped his authority to enable him to rule the church. And there are people like that today. Sometimes they are men like this. Occasionally, I have run into cases where they are women like this. It can be either one. Anybody who insists on ruling the church according to their own will, instead of according to the Scriptures, according to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God deliver us from such people. We'll look at it again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.